Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cody Talks. It is January 6th. A little bit of help there. First show of the new year, Heath.
Yep.
Pretty excited, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Popped up out of bed this morning and thought, man, it's the first show of the new year on Cody Talks. I'm excited as heck about that. No?
Yeah.
Not so much. It's all right. The name of the show today is What Is There for the Kids? There's Nothing for the Kids to Do. I don't even remember what I named it now. Something. Let's talk about the current events first, because that's what we do. First of all, let me start all over because I'm discombobulated. I got excited about it being the first show of the new year. Come join us and talk about this show on Facebook, facebook.com/CodyTalks. We don't take live call-ins, but you can leave comments on the post there on the Facebook page. Or hit us up on Twitter. We're at Cody Talks on Twitter. We're even on Google Plus, but nobody else is, so it doesn't matter. And send me your comments or feedback on this. This show, when we get to the meat of the show, is going to kind of be a little bit centric about or centered on my hometown, the community where I live. But I have this feeling that it applies to every non-major metropolitan area in the United States. And so I'd love to have feedback from anyone around the country, maybe even around the world. We're on the internet at CodyTalks.com. For those of you that aren't listening to us on 94.7 KSKU, welcome. I'd really love to have some feedback, some thoughts on this one, because I think it's an issue out there that we're going to discuss. It's an issue that has a multitude of solutions, that are actually easy and inexpensive, and it's a problem we could actually fix, but a problem that definitely exists. Current events. The current event that I want to talk about is the umbrella event is the winding down of the college football season, which college football is slowly. All my life I've been a giant basketball fan. I love the NBA, but when Michael Jordan retired, it's honestly kind of dwindled off for me a little bit. College basketball's always been one of my favorite things to watch, listen to. I love college basketball, and college football in the last decade has really creeped its way in and gotten itself pretty closely tied to college basketball in my favorite sporting events to follow. View and go to. College football is winding down to an end. It's actually over tomorrow night when Notre Dame takes on Alabama in the national championship game. By the way, Alabama 14 probably on that. Notre Dame, I love your tradition. I've always loved Notre Dame's tradition. The way they've run their program all the way back to Lou Holtz was really the first Notre Dame coach that I was old enough to remember, but the tradition is incredible, but you don't stand a chance. Alabama's defense is not going to let you score. The other game that I want to talk about was the Fiesta Bowl, which was two nights ago.
Yeah. Friday night, I believe.
Friday night from the crack staff.
Thursday.
Doesn't really matter. It's over. It's in the past, and the date of it's not that important. But Kansas State goes to the Fiesta Bowl, you know, as a top five team in the country, makes a major BCS bowl. It's an incredible thing and something that our whole state should be proud of, honestly. Not really a K-State fan. I don't really have a college football team. I just love the whole mess of college football. But I wanted to throw a quick congratulations out to K-State. Bill Snyder, to me, is one of the classiest, most intelligent, hardest working football coaches actively coaching right now. And Colin Klein really seems like a class act at quarterback. A team that took no real super mega star talent and nearly went all the way this year. Highly commendable. The other point that I want to make, and is not going to be quite as popular with the K-State fans of the world, is hopefully everyone realizes from the pounding that the Ducks put on them, that K-State, while they're very good and definitely a top 10 team in the country, still has quite a bit of work to do to get to that top five, that elite caliber level that your Alabamas, your Oregons have worked themselves into there, LSU. You know, some of the premier teams are still on a recruiting level and a personnel level that K-State's just not quite ready to play with. But I will wish all the success in the world to Coach Snyder. Hope he can ride this wave. And literally, it would be awesome if KU got itself to a point in kept itself where it's at, and we had one of the premier basketball teams, and K-State got itself one notch higher and got itself to a premier football team. And it would be a cool thing for Kansas, our little bitty podunk state, to have those kind of things going on. Be exciting for me. I'm excited, and I'm not a K-State fan. It's not that I don't like K-State, but I've never been all that much of a pick a team in college football. I don't know why. I loved Colorado for a couple years when I was a kid, but I don't even remember what caused that. But I'm a KU basketball fan at heart, really the only college team that I back, but K-State football is winning me over, and I just wanted to send out a congratulations and kudos to them, and hope that they can ride this wave a little bit and raise the caliber of their team a little bit more even.
And K-State showed class when they got off the plane there in Arizona. They were in suits where Oregon was just in plain.
Yeah, road. Absolutely. Bill Snyder runs there's rumor of, you know, he runs nearly a military discipline-like system where, you know, there's even rumor that he's like borderline OCD in the structure of everything that he does, which is not a knock. I think it's a good thing. And when you have, you know, 150-plus college kids, all of which are fairly confident individuals, you know, they were all the best player on their high school football team. And you put them in a room, and I think he's proven that you put them all together in an organization, that kind of structure and discipline is one successful way to show them the path to success. You know, he's there's a lot of talk around the sports scene of him being kind of obsessive compulsive. You know, and as long as he's not taking it to extremes of hurting anyone, it seems like the way he runs it is a pretty good system with the success that he's having now twice, having come back again at K-State to bring them back into the national competitive scene. It's a pretty cool thing for all the. I know you have at least one maniac K-State fan around here, right? The big boss at the radio station is a. An avid Wildcat, is that fair to say?
Yeah, to the fact that his office is purple.
Yeah, exactly. It's possibly out of control, but I love fanatical fans like that too. I love people that I'm that way with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what a fan is someone that backs their team, win or lose, and, you know, is ready to do moderately crazy things to show their support for their team and their school and their organization. I love that kind of stuff out of a college football fan. So congratulations to the Wildcats. I wish you could have won the Fiesta Bowl. For those of you out there that I talked to before the game and you heard me say that I didn't think they were going to win it, I meant it. They weren't the same caliber of team as Oregon quite yet and not quite ready for that level of postseason play. But if they get, they keep Schneider around for two or three more years, he'll do the things right to take them to that level. And, it'll be an exciting thing. It'll be something that, brings Kansas into the limelight even more in a positive way. All right, we're going to take a quick early break here and get back to the subject at hand. We're going to talk today about the fact that you hear kids say there's nothing to do in Hutchinson, Kansas all the time and my thoughts on it when we come back on Cody Talks.
Everybody knows that the first is the best. So when you want a gaming experience that has it all, skip the new and flashy and get back to where it all started. The first. First Council Casino. Why? It's simple. More winners, more cash, more often. More winners means looser slots and action-packed tables. We've got over 1,400 of today's hottest and most popular slot machines, from pennies to progressives, plus 8 live blackjack tables and bingo. Pull up a seat and let the winning begin. More cash means more jackpots, like the $5.2 million in cash and prizes that we gave away in November. Don't wait to get your share of the winnings this month. So when you want it all, don't come in last. Get to the first. First Council Casino Hotel, North Highway 77 in Newkirk, just south of the Kansas state line. More winners, more cash, more often. Visit FirstCouncilCasinoHotel.com for more info. Gambling problem? For help, please call 1-800-522-4700.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have, all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
KSKU. Cody Talk.
All right, welcome back. The subject for today, now that we're done talking about Kansas State Wildcat football, is I titled the show Something for the Kids to Do. And hopefully some of you out there listening will get on Facebook or Twitter and give me responses, people from other communities, and even those of you from Hutchinson, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But you hear, and it's not a Hutchinson thing. Hutchinson doesn't suck about this as far as, you know, other towns of 40,000 people and below across the country are concerned. But you hear a lot of kids in the 13 to 18 age group talking about how there's nothing to do in Hutchinson, Kansas. And then I think the standard or the non-thoughtful response from most of the adults out there is to say something to the effect of kids these days. Say something to the effect of, you know, if you'd get off your video games and get outside and run around in circles, there would be something to do. And I have kind of as a 37-year-old, I almost said adult, but I don't know if I really act like an adult, but as a 37-year-old and a parent of a 13 and a 15-year-old, that's not my response. My response is there really isn't. Organized places or things for kids in Hutchinson, Kansas to socialize at. There really isn't a sports world, or we lost our bowling alley, which was maybe when it was open, not necessarily a great place for kids to, or it wasn't the perfect place for kids to hang out. I think sometimes it was centered more around the bar and the bowling alley, which is fine. It's not a knock, but it just doesn't lend to it being a 13 to 18 year old hangout. But there really isn't anything in Hutchinson, Kansas, which for those of you outside the area is a community of 40,000 people. You know, not your typical small town, but not a city. We're kind of stuck in the middle. I know that if you live in New York City, you think 40,000 people is a small town, but we have a lot smaller towns in Kansas than Hutchinson. And there is very little in the sense of socializing. Now, we have phenomenal sports programs. There's a lot for kids to do. My argument more being there's nowhere for kids to just hang out, socialize, and be kids. Everything that's kind of set up and organized for them to do is something structured. And I know that there's going to be some way more educated than me person out there saying that structure is good for them. And I couldn't agree more. I love organized sports for kids. Just specifically, well, not specifically, but for several reasons. One is that they need something to do. But also the structure and the discipline and the work ethic and the teamwork building and the camaraderie that comes from organized sports, I think is nearly crucial in some form for the development of kids. Don't take that to mean they have to play sports or they're not good. Those aspects that come from it, kids need that in some sense, some way or another. But outside of organized sports, there's very little organized for kids to go and do and socialize. I don't know of, and I think I would know with my kids, but maybe not. I don't know of a place that lends itself to that. On Facebook, Jason Miller came on and put this was a great topic. And then I sent back to him on the commercial break, what's your thoughts? Jason used to own and operate a place called Jumpin' Jays, that was a indoor, it's bouncy houses and those, you know, the inflatable castles that you jump up and down in. Jason had an indoor place of those, and it was a really cool place. Maybe slightly geared towards a little bit younger crowd that I'm talking about, but still a great place for kids to go, in a controlled indoor safe environment and go just kind of cut loose and be kids. Sometimes it was about birthday parties, but it gave this destination, this place for kids to go. And maybe Jason will come on and tell me, that I'm wrong, that there was a lot more, teens and, you know, in that kind of 13 to 18 group in there. But as far as I know, there's never been anything centered around that. And to me, it's kind of Hutchinson letting a group of its population down, kind of Hutchinson not looking at an issue and solving it. And by no means, if you know me, you know that I don't mean the city government of Hutchinson. I don't think that the government has a responsibility to provide a place for teenagers to socialize. But it's for several years now been somewhat disappointing to me that the private market, the private sector, someone hasn't started a business or done something to solve what to me is a fairly serious issue. Not a downfall of Hutchinson issue, but what it really is a issue that gives kids one more reason to go away from Hutchinson when they're out of school. And, you know, I think it's a gigantic contributing factor to the point that the population of this town hasn't grown in forever. About three generations, I believe. It's been pretty consistently right where it's at. And some might say, hey, that's great, it's not declining. But a town of 40,000 people that the population's not growing a little bit means that more people are moving out than are moving in, because we have babies being born, so the town should be growing. the reason that this all came to a head is I spend a lot of time working with, for the most part, even smaller than Hutchinson communities in economic development, tourism, business development, and entrepreneurship sense on trying to help those communities that are, you know, 10% to 50% the size of Hutchinson around the Midwest sustain, because a lot of them, their populations are in fact declining. Their school enrollments are declining. More people are leaving than are moving in or being born. And it always comes back to, there's this age old issue that adults for some reason don't seem to take seriously of, the kids are bored. And you can take it all the way, you know, you take it all the way back to, I always use Mayberry and the Andy Griffith Show as an example, where it seemed like Opie and his friends were just having a blast. And I think when you took it back to that age, they were, because the people of the community in Mayberry paid a lot of attention to them, knew them, gave them things to do, helped keep them out of trouble. There was a sense of community and involvement in these kids' lives by everyone that gave them a sense of, the people around here care, and that's important to me, and I feel like they want what's best for me. And to some extent, that's been lost. Not in people caring. People haven't gone bad, but time constraints and the 900 million different things that are grabbing at our attention now that didn't exist during the time of Mayberry and the Andy Griffith Show are diluting how much adults relate and get involved. And I don't want to say care. I don't think adults care less, but they have less time to dedicate to, I'm not talking about their kids. I'm talking about the other kids of the community. So we've lost some of that sense of community. So now the one thing that was making kids feel, one of the things that was making kids feel like they were a part of, or not, that their community, their hometown cared about them, has gone away. Adults have so many other things going on. And so when kids get bored, there's sometimes no one there to offer an alternative, or there's no one there to make them feel like they're a part of the community and someone cares about this issue that they're bored. And I think it's a drastic issue here in Hutchinson, in our hometown. Kids, from the time that they can drive, really, which is supposed to be whatever, 17, that they can freely drive, 16 to some job things, 15, whatever, there's really nothing for them to do in a social aspect, or a destination for them in Hutchinson, Kansas. And for several years now, I've been, not real aggressively, but I've been talking about it, mentioning it, trying to kind of plant a seed in someone's mind to go out and start a business that's geared towards giving these kids something to do. It's geared towards giving them a sense that someone in the city of Hutchinson, an adult, someone with the ability to start a business, understands and is listening to them and wants to let them know that the adults in this community care about them, want them to stay here, and aren't just taking that approach of kids these days, because it's not kids these days, because I'm not a kid anymore. And this was very true when I was a teenager 20 to 25 years ago in Hutchinson, Kansas. We had a miniature golf, and we still had the bowling alley. The miniature golf went away while I was a teenager, and the bowling alley at the time was smoking, and we had a pretty legitimate complaint that there was nothing for us to do in a social sense, that this town kind of didn't seem to offer things for us to do. And so, you know, you leave it up to a teenager to get creative and come up with their own organized things to do. And sometimes those things aren't necessarily constructive, or they don't always fall within the confines of legal, if you know what I mean. You didn't do any of that stuff, right, Heath?
Correct.
But it's an issue. We're going to take a quick break because I want to roll into a whole nother area of this topic when we come back. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter if the situation is similar in your hometown, or if you're in the Hutchinson area, let me know what you think about it. Facebook.com/CodyTalks or Cody Talks on Twitter. We'll be right back, and I'm gonna bring up some kind of brainstorming of possible solutions in my mind when we get back on Cody Talks.
Today we want to find out how big a good marriage is.
You mean how many people it affects?
Yes.
Let's go find out.
How big is it? Yeah. I can't measure it.
Big. It's worldwide.
I would say big as the universe, and that universe is infinite.
So your marriage affects more than just the two of you.
How many people are we talking about?
At least 1,000.
Thousands.
Yeah.
If you bring joy to your marriage, people are kind of like, I want that too.
You're drawn to that because you see those nice people being together, being happy, and you want to enjoy that too.
If you were going to take all these people that your marriage has influenced, what kind of building would you need a house of all?
It's going to be quite a big building.
Stadium.
We're not the stadium level. A gymnasium.
Oh, that would have to be a cathedral.
So a good marriage really is good for more than two.
Yeah, a good marriage goes a long way.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
There's no doubt about it. Our world is changing, and for those who are ready to make that change work for them, Hutchinson Community College is the place to start. Whatever your dream is, your time is now. An affordable education will give you the tools you need to launch that new career. Go online to hutchcc.edu and choose your field of study. Select from day, evening, or online classes and ask about financial assistance programs. Call 1-888-GO-HUTCH or contact them online at hutchcc.edu. Let's begin reinventing your future today.
I have to shower every day. Otherwise, I smell.
I have to feed a dog. Otherwise, he'll eat my dinner or bite me.
I have to put pants on when I go out of the house. Otherwise, I'd have no pants on.
There are some things you just have to do. If you're a young man turning 18, you have to sign up with the Selective Service System. It's the law. Plus, by registering, you'll keep your eligibility for government jobs and college loans. Go to SSS.gov today. That's SSS.gov.
KSKU. Cody Talks.
All right, we're back talking today about something to do for the kids in small to middle town America. Here in my hometown of Hutchinson, Kansas, you hear some, it's not like an epidemic, not trying to make a bigger deal out of this or be down on Hutchinson, but you hear kids talk about there's nothing to do. They want to go to Wichita. They want to go to Kansas City. And there's no doubt, and I don't think our teenage troublemaking or teen drinking or any of the other things that teens might be doing that parents and adults would rather they didn't is any worse than anywhere else. But there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the fact that we do next to nothing to give them something organized on a social sense to do is a contributing factor to the amount of incidents of kids doing things that adults don't want them to do, even to the point of kids doing things that are illegal. And again, I don't think Hutchinson, Kansas, it was not like we have some epidemic and 60 Minutes should come to town and, you know, make a special about how horrible it is for teenagers here, because I think that every town across the nation this size, at least in this kind of a population density area, has the exact same problem. But some are dealing with it better in the sense that they're not ignoring this group of people that are not only now contributing members to our community and economy, they're by all means the future of it. And it almost boggles my mind when I look around Hutchinson. And I want to back up for a second, because I know someone out there is sitting and thinking, well, we have this program, and there's at least one coffee shop in town that I will give some credit. Metropolitan Coffee does a good job of doing things in their business, music wise, and making an attempt to give kids something to do. And it's not even an attempt. They're doing a good job of it. And there's groups of kids in there enjoying themselves and developing a social based community that I think is pretty successful. But for the most part, other than them, I'm not talking about organized activities, you know, like art class or even I'm talking about giving kids a place to socialize and be kids, and do kid things with some adult supervision, legal kid things. And I just don't see it in Hutchinson. I don't see it in nearly all of the small communities, that I go to and talk to them about growth. And the first thing that I ask them when I show up and they've hired me to consult over something in the economic development or finance or population growth or community development, whatever it is what are you doing to make your 13 to 18 year olds feel like, this community cares about them? And it has to be more than caring about the football team or caring about the volleyball team. We have to show these kids that on a social sense, outside of them banding together to do something with a ball, that we care about them. Jen Nugent just posted on Facebook, things were a lot different when we were kids. Kids today don't do much outside of computers and their phones and TV. And absolutely, phones and video games and TV are making this more of a challenge. But there's a flip side to that too, that us not giving them much in the way of something to go out and do is partially responsible for how much time they're spending on their phones and computers and TV. If they had a cool place to go, had more options of fun, just straight social, non-competitive, fun places to go, it would lessen the amount of time spent typing with their thumbs on their phones or staring into a video game or clicking through Facebook or Twitter or whatever their internet destination of choice is. So I agree with you, Jen. It's another one of those distractions that pulls away from people developing a community, is the technology of today. But at the same time, our lack of community is pushing them to just sit and do those type of things more, and mess with technology and not get out and become a part of their community. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think it's a two-sided argument there. Maybe you'd even call it a catch-22, that one just continually feeds the other. Options. I go into a lot of communities and I ask them this question, and you get the adults coming back at you with, oh, kids these days don't do anything but text and play video games. And so I ask these communities, what are you doing to change that? besides just being the old fogies that gripe about it. You know, you're the adults in this situation. If kids in your town aren't out having fun and enjoying their community and becoming a part of their community, you can't really leave that up to a 13-year-old to change because, you know, they can't even drive, let alone vote, or it's they're not going to make societal change in your hometown. At a minimum, if there isn't adults behind them, and most likely it's going to have to be adults leading the charge. And more often than not, they don't have a response. Most of the time the adults are actually dumbfounded that they've hired a consultant that's coming out and telling them that they should listen to the kids in their community. But doesn't it just seem like common sense? If you want your population to grow, you need to stop having your best and brightest be dying to get out of town. And giving them the opinion or the feeling that their community cares about them, giving them the opportunity to just have fun in a constructive, creative environment. When they're not interested in sports or in between sports and dance, and you know, there's no shortage of organized things, which I'm all in favor of. Don't get me wrong, I chase my kids all over the place for organized sports, but we also have to give them a place for them to go and be kids, go and socialize. Because like Jen said, there's less of the just go out in the neighborhood and play. And then even when, you know, even Jen, when we got to be 14 years old, it's not, you know, it's not like we were still in the mood to go out in the backyard or in the park down the street and play tag. There's this group of kids they get to an age and they want a place, they may not even know they want it, but I think that they want and need a place to congregate and socialize. And as a community, I tell communities every time I visit with them, this is the single biggest both social and economic issue you have going right now is do the 15 to, I keep using different age numbers, but 15 to 18 is normally what I say. Do the 15 to 18-year-olds feel like their community cares about them outside of the ones that strap on a football helmet on Friday nights. Examples. One of the big things that I push in a lot of these communities is kind of the arts and music scene. Every high school, no matter how small it is, I think, it's a drastic statement to say every, but I think it's true. Every high school has some artists, as some students that are artists, some students that have a band, some students that are not interested in sports. And I keep falling back on sports because of how big high school football is around here. But what is your community doing for them? And I don't mean a structured art program. I don't mean music class at the high school. I mean, do these kids have a place to go and play their music and have their friends come and listen to them? Do they have a place to go and just sit and talk? And again, in Hutch, we have really one, maybe two instances of coffee shop type scenarios. One in the Metropolitan Metro Coffee that's very cool, and I think solves to this issue to some extent. But I think they need a place. I think Hutchinson needs to put up, and not the city, and not necessarily a church, but a private entity, a private entrepreneur, needs to open a hangout spot. There's tons of revenue potential there. I don't want to get into the business side of it, but someone very much could, in fact, make money off of this. I'm not asking for a charitable move here. I'm asking for someone to consider opening a business that there's a huge demand for, doing it right, and giving these kids a place to hang out. And maybe there's a little stage in the back where they can on two nights a week, there's a concert there, and it's centered around them with their types of things, their type of food and snacks, their type of, video game consoles in the corner, and the music's maybe a little bit louder than us old people want it, and it's maybe a little bit different music than us old people want. And they get to pick their music and those type of things. And I try in every small town that I go to push some sense of this idea on the community of, if we sit around and gripe that kids these days don't get out and do this, they don't go play baseball in the park, they don't do everything like I thought or I did when I was a kid, we're just going to continue to push our best and brightest to not like Hutchinson, to not have fond memories of their hometown, because they spent the entire last 5 years of their schooling in that hometown bored out of their gourd and dying to get out. Now, I know someone is going to say, well, you're not going to stop kids from wanting to get out of Hutchinson, Kansas. And that's not the point. I actually think the majority of them should get out. I think that they should go and see the world to some extent, not the entire world, but some other part of the world. But I'll guarantee you that if we did something along the lines of making an effort for them to have more fun, be less bored, and think to a bigger extent that their community was legitimately and sincerely interested in helping them cure their boredom, I just can't help that think that it would be an all around better place for any community across the nation that took this mindset. And I think it could be done in an entrepreneurial way that just is an all around win-win situation for both the teens, a business owner, and the community. Few more Facebook comments coming in. We'll deal with those when we come back from a quick break on Cody Talks.
In the past, when a musician or band recorded a song that was worth owning, people would buy it. And that inspired artists to create more music. It was a rewarding time for both artist and listener. Today, many music lovers refuse to pay anything to own a new song. Why pay for music when it can be downloaded illegally for free? When you download music illegally, you're stealing, and it's not a victimless crime. You're denying payment for work that rightfully belongs to the artist. So please, don't download music, movies, or software illegally. Do what's right. Pay for them. Get them legally and support aspiring artists who are busy creating your next favorite song.
Illegal downloads hurt, but you have the power to stop them. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org/getreal. That's ncpc.org/getreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
In Kansas, having your secure electronic health records in one place means better care on the go. Electronic health records provide healthcare professionals quick access to life-saving information, offering safer, more timely, efficient, patient-centered care. Quick access to your health records means better healthcare. To learn more, visit khie.org. Sponsored by the Kansas Health Information Exchange and aired in cooperation with the Kansas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
KSKU. Cody
Talks. All right, welcome back. I've been on this soapbox diatribe about my opinion that I think communities and I think it's probably all communities. I mean, I think different boroughs and neighborhoods in New York City probably have this exact same issue. It can't be to the same extent, but I think it exists everywhere. This is not a knock on my hometown. I just keep using examples of my hometown because it's what I know and what I'm familiar with. Jan on Facebook puts, you're right, Cody, give the kids a role in the decision-making. Giving the kids a role in the decision-making creates a sense of community pride and involvement in the youth population and brings them back to town to raise a family later. And I could not agree more. That's exactly what I'm talking about, that when these kids spend 4, 5, 6 years in Hutchinson bored, and then they voice their boredom and people tell them to get off their phones and get outside and run in the grass like some Disney movie, and then they leave and they go somewhere else. The really cruddy thing about it is when they leave, they go somewhere. If they're going to college, they go to an environment that's completely catered around them, right? You leave from Hutchinson and go anywhere. You can go to Hays, Kansas, to Fort Hays State University, where there's probably actually less for 13 to 18-year-old kids to do. But the whole entire place is catered around college kids. There's activities and organizations and clubs. And so now they feel like they rolled right into a situation where everyone cares about them. They don't care any more than we did here in Hutchinson. It's just their job at the college to make those kids feel involved and you know, keep them occupied and give them the idea that they care about them so they can send them out and create alumni that send back checks, right? It's, I mean, the college has figured out that if they give those kids a sense of pride, how many people do you know who have zero loyalty or commitment to their hometown, but they lived in for 18 years, but they're diehard fanatics of some nonprofit organization where they went and got educated for 4 years? You know, colleges do a phenomenal job of making 18 to 23, 24-year-olds feel like they care about them. They do care about them. They're not lying to them. I'm not saying they're tricking them. But I'm telling you that communities of 40,000 people can do the same thing if we would open up our minds a little bit. Someone takes some risk. Someone put up a buy a building or rent a building and get a group of kids together and listen to what they want. Obviously it has to be legal, right? That's important, Heath. Some kid says that he wants a big pot smoking room. I mean, we can't go that route. We're not Colorado or Washington. I saw this thing on Facebook the other day where since Colorado and the state of Washington legalized marijuana, neither one of their professional football teams have lost a game.
Really?
It's really not that relevant to the show today. But I think it's funny. If someone took a risk and really gave these kids some say, because I think it's probably happened before. I'm by no means the first guy to have this notion or idea or concept. I think what's probably has been the downfall of every other one is either a bunch of adults got together to solve this situation and didn't ask kids, or B, they got together, decided they were going to ask kids, and then didn't listen to the kids and went on and did what they thought was best, and nobody came. Or some kids came the first time and realized it was just like if they had sat at home and done whatever their parents were going to do. I've honestly pursued this down several different avenues over the last 5 years. Not hard at all. And looked at lots of different options and talked to lots of different people. I guess my hope today is if there's someone out there that has an idea or just wants to talk about it more, I'm offering up, let's use the Cody Talks Facebook page. You can get in touch with me on there, and let's get together and talk about it. Or someone from another community somewhere else around the world is watching this on the internet, get on the Cody Talks Facebook page and let's just create a conversation about it, because this is, I've probably worked with 24 communities over the last 18 months to 2 years on any range of things from marketing to economic development to entrepreneurship to tourism. And those things are all driven by the small town slowly dwindling away. Some cases not so slowly dwindling as much as severely hemorrhaging population. This right here is the single biggest thing you can do. The single biggest low-hanging fruit for population growth for those places that are worried about a declining population is to make the 13 to 18-year-olds in your community love your community, feel like they're a part of it, and want to end up there. I don't like to say want to stay there, because I want them to go out and see the world, gain some worldly knowledge, but feeling like they belong there, feeling like they're a part of it, is the single easiest way to grow your population, because you have a group of people that have some connection, and right now we're just not doing as much as we can to foster that connection and make these kids feel like they're a part of something. Not so much that, as make them feel like the adults in their community are genuinely interested in them enjoying their time in the community. Jan also put on Facebook, he asked the question, has a market study of the population section, that population section, been done to find out what the kids desire? I don't know the question to that. He goes on to, I don't know the answer to that. I know the question because I just read the question. Something to gauge interest and involve them in the process of deciding what becomes. I don't know that that's been done on a formal route. I do know of several instances of smaller organizations with limited numbers of kids or student age people being involved. I don't know that anything's ever come of it. And maybe that's what needs to be done. Maybe there needs to be a kids forum of a bunch of adults putting together something, figuring out a way to get kids there, you know, because publicizing, hey, we're going to have a student forum, you know, I just don't see the attendance being through the roof in the 13 to 18-year-old group. I don't really know what the answer is. I have ideas. If there's someone out there anywhere that wants to talk about it, give me a holler on Facebook. If there's someone in Hutchinson, Kansas area that really wants to get on it, I'd love to be involved. Brian Davis just posted on Facebook, what you're describing as a place for teens to hang out was done in the late 90s by the Hutch Rec. It was fairly successful, but I think it became a funding issue and was closed. It was funded by the rec and led by an adult and youth advisory board. Brian says, I helped with the first one and love to help make another one possible. I wish I had deeper pockets. I remember that when Hutch Rec did that, and it's, I believe, Brian, and everyone out there, and this is just an opinion and not something that I'm claiming as fact, but I do believe it, that it needs to be a private enterprise place. It needs to be something that funds itself. These kids, these 13 to 8, and I'm not talking about memberships. I'm talking about a concession stand and video game. I mean, there's ways to make this thing make some money, which obviously makes it more attractive to everyone and gives it a better chance for longevity. Brian said he'd like to help make another one possible, so you just screwed up and publicly announced, Brian, that you'd like to get involved with this. I think we should make it happen. I think everywhere all over the country, And there's no magic it. Okay. There's no magic. This is the answer to this problem. The problem is caring. I can't tell you what you should actually do in your community to get the kids to feel a bigger sense of community. You have to sit down in your community and brainstorm and get their input, look at possibilities and develop your own solution. But the answer, what I can tell you to do is to more genuinely care about their thoughts and wants and desires. It's just like teachers who get mad at students who don't engage in learning because they don't understand why they need to know it. You know, the age-old question of the student raises his hand and says, why am I ever going to need to know this? Teachers shouldn't get mad at that. Teachers should actually be excited by that because the kid's paying attention. The kid's inquisitive. Take the time to care that they don't think they're ever going to know this and teach them how in real life what you're teaching them is going to help them in their adult lives. It's all about taking the time to care. And I don't even think this is a hard issue to develop independent creative solutions to. Obviously, as Brian put, funding is going to be an issue everywhere you go with this, funding and time. But it's amazing how our communities can spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars courting and hundreds and thousands of man hours courting giant corporations to try and move to town. But we can't take 1/100th of that effort and money to get our kids to want to live here and stay here or move back here. I'm not saying no one's doing it, but we're not doing it enough. Anyway, that's my thoughts. Try to get a little more local with the show today and tie it back to something that I felt there was a solution to. Keep the posts coming. I'll be on Facebook and Twitter for a little while longer here. And thank you very much for joining us today on Cody Talks. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and we'll see you Wednesday on CodyTalks.com for web-only Wednesdays. Don't matter if you lean left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, we got a show for you. Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.